Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, July 17th, 2024. My name is Kevin Smith. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Loud Majority Live. We got a jam-packed show for you guys today. More events, more updates from the RNC, day two of the RNC wrapping up yesterday. We will give you a preview of what to expect moving forward. Also, new polling out from YouGov has things looking very, very bad. Very, very bad for Joe Biden. So bad that even CNN seems to be admitting it. On the assassination front, the Iranians apparently have been planning an assassination of the former president and soon-to-be future president for quite some time over his killing of Qasem Soleimani. Was that the one that died like a dog? Was that the one who died like a dog, whimpering and crying? I think it was. Obviously, they're not too thrilled about that, but they're an autocratic theocracy, so I really don't care what they have to say. We're going to give you all the details about that. And Congressman Corey Mills, who, I got to be honest with you, I trust when it comes to matters such as this, maybe more than anyone, starts asking some very serious questions. Some very, very serious questions, and we need to get the answers to that. But before we get started, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. What is happening, everybody? Sly, how are you? Palumbo, how are you? Sophie, how are you? Bobby Driver, how are we doing? R-Ray, hello to everyone. I missed, and I'm sure I missed a lot. Let's get loud now. Let's get loud. What's up, Regina? Regina, are you... I think you are. What is going on, everybody? Guys, make sure you're hitting the thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Let's dive right on in. So the top story over the last couple of days is that apparently the Iranian regime has had a plot to assassinate the former president in the latest string of attempts by Tehran to lethally target American officials and Iranian-American dissenters. This from Fox News. Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei has effectively put bounties on the heads of Trump, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and ex-National Security Advisor John Bolton for their roles in the U.S. drone strike that eliminated the global Iranian threat Qasem Soleimani. And I can tell you right now, this is something that they take very, very seriously. There was an event out here on Long Island, I guess we're at like 3 years ago now, where I had to go pick up people from the airport who were transporting Secretary of State Pompeo. And I pull up. I was doing it for the Zeldin campaign at the time. And I pull up and Secret Service was there. And I couldn't imagine why the former Secretary of State had Secret Service protection. They told me that there was a credible threat from the Iranians, which no one told me when I signed up for the job, which would have been nice to know. Just a little heads up. So they take these things very, very seriously. Very seriously. Because the Iranians would pull something like this out. According to the U.S. government, Soleimani was responsible for the murder of over 600 American military personnel in the Middle East. Fox News Digital reported on Tuesday that the Department of Homeland Security received intelligence from a human source about a planned Iranian assassination of the president. The Iranian plot is not linked to the stage... is not linked at this stage, excuse me, to the assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. Now, look, once again, on this show, I do not say the names or show the photographs of mass shooters or in this case, assassins. I'm not going to do that. However, I'm sure you've all seen a photograph of the guy who tried to kill the president. And before everybody starts running wild about whatever you may think, one way or the other, just look at a photograph of that guy and tell me if you think that that's who the Iranians picked. Let's just be honest here. Some loner who apparently, in reports today, his parents knew something was up and phoned up the police because they didn't know where their son was, fearing something must have been going wrong. And look, on this assassination, we're going to get to Congressman Corey Mills in a second, because it's about an 8-minute long clip, but I want to show you guys the entire thing, because look, Corey Mills is a bad mother effer. Let's just be honest here, okay? Special Forces, this guy rescues Americans all over the world on his own. I want to be clear. I don't know anything about snipers, okay? I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything that I don't see in the movies about snipers. However, when Congressman Corey Mills says what he's about to say, I take it very seriously. We'll get to that in a minute. Back to the article. Khomeini has been described as hell-bent on assassinating Trump since 2020, following the former president's order to kill Soleimani in Iraq in 2022. The Washington, D.C.-based Middle Eastern Media Research Institute published an Iranian-produced animation video depicting the targeted assassination of Trump by the Islamic Republic that was uploaded to Khomeini's official website. Yet, somehow, the Ayatollah of Iran, who has called for the destruction of the State of Israel and the death to Americans, somehow still has a Twitter account. I don't know. The guy can talk to Muhammad, allegedly, but he needs a Twitter account to let the rest of the world know what he's up to. I don't know. Something a lot about that. Quote, the Islamic Republic has used everything from lone wolf radicals to terror proxies to even transnational criminal syndicates to carry out acts of terrorism, kidnapping, and assassination abroad over the past four decades across four continents, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies told Fox News. He continued, quote, rather than be made to pay a price for its evolving support for terrorism over the years, Tehran has learned that terrorism allows it a deniable military option that most states will ignore or treat as a law enforcement matter. The regime has learned how to integrate this threat into its asymmetric arsenal, which also includes long-range strike capabilities, maritime harassment, and cyber attacks. Now, many people in this world, me not being one of them, claim that you got to choose between one. You got to choose one of the two. Either the Saudis or the Iranians. The Saudis or the Iranians. Personally, I would say, if you choose to run your country like you're living in the 9th century, I don't want to deal with either one of you. I don't want to deal with either one of you. But I guess that makes me a bad person. That allegedly makes me a bad person. Keep your oil. Keep your goofy ass beliefs, keep it way over there, because while I am very anti-war and I have no problem denouncing the concept of endless war all over the world and throughout this nation, whomever the president may be, the minute you kill Americans, we find out who ordered that attack, and we lob a cruise missile directly into your house. Right into your house. I have no problem with that. No problem with that. When Trump killed Soleimani in Iraq, drone strike, bingo, bango, we're done. Move on. Because you will learn. I don't care who you are. Whether you're the fat lesbian Rosie O'Donnell impersonator in North Korea, or people living in the Middle East who choose to live in the 9th century and have armies that fight in sandals, I don't care one way or the other. F-A-F-O. F-A-F-O. Now, of course, I do find it interesting. Not interesting. Curious that apparently this plot against former President Trump has been out there for months, and for some reason, it just happened to leak over the course of the last 48 hours. Does anyone find timing of that a little bit strange? I know I certainly do. I know I certainly do. But why? Why would it be released now? I don't know. Is it to take attention off of the fact that the Secret Service may have had the biggest screw-up in the history of the concept of security? Possibly. Is it to take the fact off the head of the Secret Service used to guard the Cheetos at the Pepsi-Cola company? Possibly. There are numerous reasons why this story could have come out now. However, I want to stay focused on what's important. On how a beta male 20-year-old could get on a roof 130 yards away from the President of the United States with a clear shot to his head. That's what I want to stay focused on. And we're going to get to Corey Mills' questions about this in just 1 second because, look, as I've said, and I am not a big trust the experts person because, you know, they claim Anthony Fauci is an expert. People claim that Stephen A. Smith is a sports expert. They claim the same thing about Skip Bayless. Not really experts. However, when it comes to shooting people from a long distance, yeah, I'm probably going to trust Corey Mills. I'm probably going to trust him. We'll get to that in 1 second. Before we do, Mike Lindell.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear, dog.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD for up to 80% off everything on the website. That's MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. So Corey Mills sat down with, he sat down with virtually everybody this weekend at the Republican National Convention. But the clip that I want to show you guys is when he sat down with Kate Baldwin. Kate Baldwin, that's her name, yeah. Over on CNN. Because I found it incredibly interesting, his take on this. And look, there's going to be a lot of terminology here that Congressman Mills is going to say that maybe I don't understand, maybe you don't understand. But I think it's important. It's a long clip, but I think it's relevant. Here's Congressman Mills.
You know, I look at all of these things, and I look at different videos where an assailant will pull a firearm on a law enforcement officer, and the first thing they do is they immediately pull and draw and mitigate the threat and the risk. You know, I ask why the local law enforcement officer did not do so. The other thing is that when you set up an advance team, I keep hearing this about the perimeter elements.
Yeah.
You know, the perimeter is actually established by your threats that are in the area. So if I don't have any threats outside of 100 yards, okay, fine, I can cordon off a certain area. But if I have a building 160 yards, perfectly adjacent to the stage, that's an obvious threat, especially with an elevated position that has overwatch. Mm-hmm. That's a sniper's paradise. And, you know, we talk about Eagle's Nest. You also have, which no one talks about, but the water tower.
So what I'm hearing from you is it's not a failure on the ground for sure, but 100%. Also a failure in advance?
I think it's a failure in advance. I think it's a failure to have the counter snipers to be able to establish their range fin and their sketch maps.
I also heard, we've also learned that local snipers were stationed inside that building.
I haven't heard that piece of it yet, but that doesn't necessarily make sense unless they were actually in a window which was backed off. Because a lot of times you'll get yourself in there. Sometimes you expose your rifle in a way to try and do a force protection or a show of force that actually stops things. Others are actually more tactical where they'll sit back a little bit. But a sniper for the law enforcement is only trained to shoot about 75 yards, unlike your counter-sniper teams that are on set. But here's my problem. In having done this for so long, they always say the adage of ignorance is bliss, and I think that's true. I've done thousands of advances. I've done thousands of counter-sniper operations with our teams in Iraq and Afghanistan, etc. The amount of negligence, the amount of mistakes that was made here, I have a very difficult time not leaning myself towards this was intentional as opposed to fecklessness.
But wait, talk to me about that. I actually heard you say this right the day after, which I wanted to ask you about. What do you mean intentional?
You know,
you mean an intentional failure on the part of?
No, I wouldn't say an intentional failure on the part of, but I got to just, you know, I sit here and I scratch my head. And you don't want to be the conspiracist. You don't want to be the person.
I'm telling you, because that's what it's leaning toward.
No, I know. And that's the issue, is that you walk this fine balance of, you're not trying to be a conspiracist, but you look at it and you go, how could this have gone so?
But it's one thing if someone on the street says it. It's another. I mean, you, Corn Mills, member of Congress, former sniper, you saying it, I mean, it makes my eyebrows go up. What, when you say you're walking the line on this, intentional what?
You know, it almost seems to me, and I think that an investigation is necessary at this point within Congress, not just the FBI, not just others. You know, I look back at it and I'm thinking, all right, you know, for an individual, if you looked at the escalations and how they are trying to approach him, let's just say that it was like, okay, first we want to censor and silence you, then we want to indict and imprison you. Now we're attempting to kill you and take
you
off stage.
Whoa. You, let's slow down.
Please.
I'm hearing two things from you. I don't want to jump ahead of things, but I'm also hearing you jumping ahead of things.
Well, actually, I'm just looking at all the different possible capabilities. You know, one of the things as a military member, one of the things as a person who's run in the special operations communities before, one of the people who's actually done this is that you look at all potential analysis, right?
Donald Trump and his team have said, I agree. Dial it back. Do not blame this on Joe Biden.
Oh, well, actually, I didn't say Joe Biden, to be completely
clear.
Who's
the they, then? Let's be very specific.
Well, that's what the investigation has to do. Was it local law enforcement that had made the mistakes, or was there something to it? Was there other types of things that we need to be analyzing or looking at and providing analysis? My point is that when something's so significant, you're talking about something that hasn't happened in decades, right?
My point is this.
From a perspective of someone who's actually conducted these are not difficult advances. This is not like I'm putting together a stage placement in a tight shot. This is about looking at your surroundings. What is my green, yellow, and red route, which is your routes out in case? What is my actual elements of that I need to be looking at as far as mitigating threats or risks or increased levels? Where's my range fan for the sniper that says, okay, here's my 100, my 200, my sketch. Here's an area where someone could shoot. Because here's my thing.
So let's just say it's a Royce element. You are saying this is so basic that how big the screw up was, that's what's leading your brain down the road.
That's exactly right, in a way.
Look,
because here's the other thing.
Tom Emmer was just on with me, and he said very specifically to me, I wrote it down. Mm-hmm. He said very clearly, it is too early to be talking about who is at fault and who is responsible.
Is. That's why an investigation is necessary.
Is it not dangerous? Is it not reckless? To even be throwing around the word intentionally.
So to question things as we do an investigation is recklessness, because at that point, then should we never question anything? My point is this.
I'm not trying to be PC. My point is, in the political environment that we are in.
What would it have taken, right? Let's just say that resources was limited. Let's go with that as a reasoning. So how many times have you seen where they just put a police car inside of a parking lot with not an officer in it and just leave the lights on as a deterrent? Why couldn't that have been a simple thing that was placed in? Why couldn't we have said to the owner of the actual AGR company, hey, look, we don't want to disrupt your business, but we also want to make sure your parking lot is clear of people trying to park in there for the rally. Why don't we place an officer there? My point is that this was too easy of a solution. And when I think about 160
I'm just so uncomfortable
shot,
with even having
I'm uncomfortable with having to say it. Trust me, my whole point is that I would like to look at this and say, where was the mistake made? How can we correct it in the future? Why was this actually done? But I think that this does warrant a J-13 type commission where we can actually look at it and say, let's investigate and find out why this happened, so it doesn't happen to anyone. This is not about a political thing. This is about, we had an attempt to assassinate a president. Mm-hmm. We really need to understand what a serious matter this is. And this was a milliseconds or millimeter difference between this being an attempt and this being an assassination. And I can tell you, at 160 yards, Kate, just to give you an idea, your off-the-shelf rifle shoots what they call a 1 minute of angle at every 100-yard line. So at 100, it's 1 inch. 200, 2 inches, etc. So now you're talking about 1.6 inch grouping capability of a rifle off a manufacturing line. Your average human being, because we used to do this in understanding sniper training, you're 20 inches shoulder to shoulder, 40 inches head to waist, and you're 6x8 in your average head size. These are kind of the dimensions that you look at as an average. You're talking about a 1.6 inch grouping for multiple shots on a basic rifle. We're blessed, and I do believe in divine intervention, so I am a person of faith. Mm-hmm. I can't explain one. I hope that it was a corrugated roof and maybe he slipped off on one of the edges of the corrugated roof or he was rushed. But this, the whole thing, I think, just needs to have a better explanation so that the American people and everyone can feel comfortable.
And I think that's why people are saying pump the brakes, because we've seen conspiracy theories, honestly, on the right and the left. I just said Donny O'Sullivan on that it's already going like wildfire. This is the kind of political environment that they're saying it's too hot and people are jumping to too many conclusions.
Well, as a
that's why I am so uncomfortable.
As a military member, one of the things that we do is we what if scenario everything in the world, right? That's
how I know, but, it, but it, I don't know. I'm
and
just
so
saying
when
if
I
it's,
look at
the what if that you talk about maybe in an investigation and the what if that, you are presenting on live television. I don't know. It's just...
Well, so, listen, I'm a public official.
Yes.
Anything that I do, anything that I say in the public. I don't try and hide it in private. I think that the American people need transparency, accountability, and accessibility to the elected officials, not to try and hide behind what we want to look at. And I also think that if the American people know that we're questioning these things as well, it puts them at rest to at least know, why aren't they at least looking into this? Why? We should look at every single situation which is of this significance. We should look at it from multiple angles to ensure that nothing is left out, nothing could be potentially claimed as being covered up. Yeah. We need to have more transparency to the American people, and I think that's what everyone deserves.
But a full investigation.
Full investigation.
Before anyone
that's right.
points at fault.
That's exactly right. And that's why I say I have not made an accusation of something. I just want to make sure we're covering our bases to ensure that we get a proper investigation at all levels to ensure this doesn't happen again and that our president can be safe.
Congressman, thank you for coming in.
Thank you
very much. John, back to you.
All right. Look, there was a lot to take in there. And I know it was a long clip, so thanks for hanging around for that. There was a lot to take in there. Now, look, you all need to, I won't say accept, but realize that we are probably never going to get all of the answers to every question we want on this assassination attempt. Kennedy was like, what, 70 years ago? 60 years ago? We still don't have all those answers. Many earth-shattering moments we don't have all the answers to. However, while Congressman Mills definitely was saying some stuff there that scares the ever-loving crap out of me, he is right to question the fact that this was so big of a screw-up, one has to... It is not out of the realm of possibility a person's mind could go to that this was... Either, I won't say done on purpose. Left open to mistakes being made. The one point that I want to focus on with what Congressman Mills says there is the police car in the parking lot. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but when you're driving down the highway and you see a police car on the side of the road, some of you probably noticed this. There's actually not even a person in the car. But when you see that police car, you slow down. I know I sure as hell do. Everybody does. Because it turns out just having a law enforcement officer, the idea of a law enforcement officer in the presence, in the vicinity, makes people stop and think. Why wasn't there a cop car in there? That if they were short on people, which I don't think they ever should be, let's be honest here. It is going to be a while until we get some answers to questions. Obviously, members of Congress are not in town at the moment. They are all in, pretty much everybody's in Milwaukee for the, I feel like I'm the only one not at the convention. I'm sure Crispy will love that one. But we are going to have to wait to get more answers to this. And I'm not going to jump to conclusions and talk about inside jobs until there's more information. This is too huge. This is too big. Before I can, I'll give you what I think happened. All I know is that the calamity that ensued because of either gross negligence, and I want to be clear. Someone's got to take the fall for this. Somebody has to. And the fact that this head of the Secret Service has not stepped down right now is troubling to me. Absolutely troubling. Guys, before we move on, because there was a clip of Don Jr. that I thought was kind of heartwarming, talking about talking about his dad and how he felt after he had heard what had happened. We're going to play that for you in a second. Before we get to that, guys, head on over to lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is your home base, your mothership, your landing pad for all things LFATV related. Guys, consider becoming a monthly donor over at lfatv.us so that we can keep bringing you guys the content you want. Keep bringing you guys the content you want. Guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. How's everybody doing today? We are rocking. We are rolling. I don't like the look on her face. She seems annoyed. She's an anchor at CNN. She's an anchor at CNN. One would assume. Custom Rock, what's going on? D-Ray, what's happening? Arrow Pink, how are you? How are you? What is going on, everybody? Lovely Wednesday afternoon. I want to welcome everybody in. D's Nuts, how are you? I love it. Some of you guys have great stuff so far. What's up, Callie? How are you? P, year out. What's happening, Juju? How we doing? Muhammad MQ wants me to go to his Rumble channel. I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably not going to do that. Neither should anybody else. Willie, how are you? Kathy Smith, how are you? Very good. Hump day. Hump day. I love those commercials. Hazel Kitty, what is going on? Before we keep going here today, guys, I want to tell you about if you are on Long Island, there's going to be something happening this weekend. Let me pop this up onto the screen. There's going to be a Tunnel to Towers fundraiser this Saturday out at Cassidy Hill Farms in Manorville. That is 40 West. Oh, let me pull this down here. Boom, boom, boom. 40 West North. I'm sorry. 40 North Street. In Manorville. If you guys aren't doing anything this Saturday, come on down. Bernadette always has a good fundraiser. A couple local representatives will be there. I think I'm speaking at it. Not really sure. Come on down to this Tunnel to Towers fundraiser. If you're on Long Island, I'd love to see everybody. Come on down to that. Hit the thumbs up button. Let's dive back in. So Don Jr., over the course of the last couple days at the convention, was asked about how he felt when he found out that his father was shot. And I have to assume, on a human level, that that's probably not easy. Here was Don Jr. talking about that.
Here with us today is Donald Trump Jr., less than 48 hours after an assassin tried to kill your father. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So I wanted to ask you, I am sure this was a horrific moment for you when you found out that someone had attempted to take your father's life. What was your first conversation with our former president like after this shooting?
It actually took a while. It was a Saturday evening. I was with my kids, July, summer, and I got a call. Your father's been shot, but that's it. Like, no details. Like, is he alive? Is right. He not? Is he okay? Took about 90 minutes to actually get through. I guess, with that, they had them all locked down and whatever it may be, and mobile trauma units or... And so, I didn't even know. It took an hour
and a half. For
90
minutes.
Yeah, an hour and a half for me to not know what was going on. And strangely enough, during that time, I was just trying to get all my kids together. Didn't know if there was further stuff going on or if there was, and so, stayed relatively calm in that. Got to finally, speak to him. And, by then I'd already seen some of the video. So I was like, okay. Then finally got the phone call. And it was, me and my brother and Laura and Kim and my daughter and my ex-wife were all there on sort of speakerphone talking. Yeah. Talking to my dad, and he was just surprisingly upbeat, and obviously a somber moment, right? But surprisingly there that I even got in a hair joke. I was like, is the hair okay after with all that blood? Is we sort of had some fun with it. I think probably all needed a little Trump style icebreaker just to kind of get through some of the gravitas of everything that went on, and then you sort of sit down, and that's when it all hits you, and it's like, man, that's it was a pretty crazy moment.
Right, and I'm sure you felt so strongly. How did this change how you look at your father?
Oh, I told him the first thing I got, I saw the picture, the sort of defiant, fist pump, after 5 seconds after getting shot. And, I guess we live in an era where everyone sort of thinks they're a badass because they're on the internet and not really up front. But he just got shot and he comes out, sort of defiant, ready to fight for our country. And I just said, hey, you're the biggest badass I've ever met, and I probably could not have been legitimately more proud ever, as a son, to have that kind of approach. Because again, everyone thinks they're going to act that way. Everyone wants to believe that they're going to act that way. But when actually tried, usually it's not the case. You usually wither and hide. And that's not his style.
Right. It's not at all. Can I ask you last thing? Are you worried about more political violence? And do you anticipate that you and your immediate family could also be a target?
You know, obviously it's something you think about. I try not to because I, you know, also have to live your life and, you know, do those kinds of things. I know when my father was in office, I had a Secret Service detail, and I was, I think, the number two most threatened person in America, according to them.
Wow.
Because, like him, I don't just accept the other side's narrative and apologize for it. I push back, I fight, and, you know, that's the way I'm sort of built, I guess. Maybe we're all built a little differently. Certainly he is. I'd like to believe I got some of those genes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's definitely a consideration, and you've seen the elevation of that over the years. You know, they couldn't beat him in, you know, in so many ways, so they try to, you know, sue him to death, and then they try to, you know, bankrupt him, and then they try to take away his businesses, and when that doesn't work, they try to jail him, and, you know, it was sort of the natural progression. I got in trouble a couple months ago when Tucker said, like, yeah, of course they would try to, and I said, yeah, like, it's totally, like, in the world in which we live, right, it's totally plausible that they would try to do something like this. And, you know, I got criticized. How dare I say that? But here we are. Like all great conspiracy theories, it turns right 6 months later.
Right. I heard Tucker say today that you're maybe his favorite member of the Trump family.
I didn't hear that, but I appreciate it. Listen, he's a great friend. I think he's a true sort of...
Just a sort of real moment from Donald Trump Jr. there about what it was like to find out. That, look, I know how you all must have felt when you heard that President Trump got shot. I can't imagine what it was like on a family level. I mean, hell, Don Jr. even said his ex-wife was on the phone. And if any of you have an ex-wife, I'm sure you know how unpleasant it is to have them on the phone. But, you know, these are some of the most real people in the political game today, and it always blows my mind, particularly those from outside of New York who don't know what Donald Trump was like before he got into politics. Everybody knows he was the blue-collar billionaire, but I know plenty of guys that worked on his jobs that said he'd come down all the time and just bullshit with them for a while. And, you know, it's nice to see real moments like that from our politicians. And I think that's why a guy like J.D. Vance resonates so well with so many people. You know, he put his entire life out there in a book, which got turned into a a huge movie. And he's got no real secrets. And I think that the Trumps are a lot like that as well. I think the Trumps are like a lot like that as well. We're going to move on because I do want to give you some more updates. Carrie Lake and Matt Gaetz having some fun at the RNC. We'll get to that in 1 minute. Before we do that, guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Share it out. We got big numbers on Rumble today. So my question is, why are you not sharing it? Why are you not sharing it out? What are we doing here? What exactly are we doing here? Share the video out all over the place. Something here's messed up. Boom, boom, boom. Let me fix that. There you go. Fixed. Bang. There we are. Guys, hit the thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Before we keep going today, guys, I want to talk to you about my friends over at The Wellness Company. If you are not stockpiling medications after what we've been through, quite frankly, I don't know what you're doing. You set yourself up a disaster. It is your personal responsibility to be prepared. And fortunately, you can with medications like Tamiflu very, very easily, baby. You can get it without booking an office appointment with your old physician. The Wellness Company has developed a contingent emergency kit, a prescription-only stockpile of life-saving medications, including Tamiflu, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and Z-Pak. Medications that every family should keep in their medicine cabinet just in case. Do you have what your family needs the next time around? Because most doctors won't even consider prescribing ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine, but we've got you covered, guys. Easily order online the one-of-a-kind prescription contingent emergency kit from The Wellness Company. Each kit provides you with carefully selected assortment of medications for bird flu, COVID-19, and other respiratory illnesses, including ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, and it even comes with a free nebulizer. Guys, it is backed up by research by Dr. Peter McCullough. Every American should have at least one of these kits in their home. Go to twc.health/LFA. That's twc.health/LFA. Use promo code LFA at checkout for 10% off and free shipping. Go to to twc.health/LFA. So you guys know I talk about this a lot on the show, how important it is to not write off the mainstream media networks so far as, I mean, going on them. Many people ask, why would Congressman Corey Mills even go on CNN? Well, so that the CNN viewers can hear a different point of view. I have long stated that it would be my dream to be the conservative voice on MSNBC or on CNN. And if anybody who knows anybody over at The View is listening, please invite me on. Please. I'll even wear a tie. I would love to go on a show like that just to eviscerate them. Just to eviscerate them. Well, at the RNC, every major network is covering it. Every major network is covering it. So for all the people sitting in the airport somewhere or on the elliptical at the gym, be careful. You may be watching CNN, and you may have gotten to hear a clip like this.
Actually, wait a minute. I don't mean that. I don't welcome everybody in this meeting, you in this room. The guys up in the fake news, frankly... you guys up there in the fake news have worn out your welcome, right? You've worn it out, guys. You have spent the last 8 years lying about President Donald Trump and his amazing patriotic supporters. Actually, guys, they lie about everything. They've lied about Joe Biden's health, the economy, the laptop, the border. I could go on and on and on. But the really good news is that every day more and more people are turning off the fake news. And they're... That's right. And Americans are waking up to the truth about the disastrous Democrat policies pushed by Joe Biden and his favorite congressman, my opponent, Ruben Gallego.
People are turning it off. They're coming to networks like this one. They're coming to many, many other networks where you're not going to see certain clips. Bob R. says, Whoopi and Joy may try to eat me if I go on The View. That's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. There's certain clips you're not going to see if you're still watching linear cable like this. And we'll get to that in a minute. Quick question, guys, since Bob brought it up. I'm going to throw the live chat up here because I got a question for you. If I went on The View, would you watch it? If I got asked to go on The View, would you watch it? I'm actually quite curious about this. I'm going to leave the live chat up for a second while we go over this. But all the networks covered that. ABC, CBS, NBC... And maybe it started to reach the heads of some of the dumb liberals out there. Everyone would watch The View if I was on it. I like that. See, Whoopi, your ratings will go through the roof. Just have me on. And I know someone out there is watching who knows them. There's got to be somebody. But if you do watch shows like this one, you'll get to see clips like this of Savannah Hernandez getting in Chris Wallace and Jake Tapper's face, asking them about whether or not they knew that Joe Biden has pretty much been dead for quite some time.
Hi, y'all. I was just wondering, you guys refused to report on the incompetence of Joe Biden, and I was just wondering if you guys were told not to report on that, or if you guys really were that ignorant. The entire American public, for some reason, was able to see that Joe Biden was grossly incompetent and that he's been in cognitive decline for a long time. However, you guys just started reporting this. Dana, can I ask you about this? Dana, you're a respected reporter. Why is it that you guys just started to report on the decline of Joe Biden? Don't you feel like you have a responsibility to the public not to lie to them about the cognitive decline of Joe Biden?
Sir, I'm here with CNN. I can't get very close to them because their security guard is blocking me. Well, we've got Jake Tapper here. We've got Chris Wallace. We also have Dana Bash. Now, I've been asking them why they have been lying to the American public about the mental decline of Joe Biden.
None of you guys would like to respond to that at all? No? Dana, you're a very respected journalist. Jake, not so much respected, but people listen to you still. Would any of you guys like to respond to Joe Biden's cognitive decline and why you guys lied to the American people about it for so long? Can you please take your hands off of me? So there you guys go. That's the media. They refuse to answer the questions of the American people.
I love it. I love every second of it. Dana, you're a well-respected journalist. Jake, you not so much. Shout out to Savannah Hernandez. What the hell's her Twitter account? Sav says, guys, give her a follow. She's got more stones than pretty much anybody else I know for pulling that. I don't know if I could do that. Of course, we keep bringing up CNN because they keep giving us such a plethora of good material to use every single day. And one of them that you actually, I just kind of realized this show is pretty much all about CNN today. I never thought I would do that. Live on CNN's air, Matt Gaetz decided to have fun with the little baby bitch boy, former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Here was what happened live on CNN, and then we'll show you it a little bit more intimately.
It's an open question of how the crowd here will receive her, but Wolf, I want you to listen to what former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who was walking around here just a few moments ago, said to me about this idea of Republican unity. But watch what happened here at the end of our interview, Wolf.
But what you're seeing here, a more united Republican Party. Think back 8 years ago, Ted Cruz wouldn't endorse. Senator Lee was saying no to President Trump. Now you've got Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis. You're watching a united party like we haven't been in the past. Hey, Kevin, one who's not coming back, and then the other part that you have, and the other part you have is one person who raised the issue. He's got an ethics complaint about paying sleeping with a 17-year-old. So that's the way they're going to go. So that's the biggest challenge we have.
Well, that's Kevin McCarthy. They're talking about how he believes the Republican Party is unified. Of course, I pointed to his ouster that the House Republicans at least are fractured. And then you saw Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida interrupt that interview just over here on the House floor a few moments ago, obviously highlighting that there are still very much fractures in the Republican Party. We'll see what the reaction is when Nikki Haley, one of Donald Trump's fiercest critics, takes the stage.
I love it. I love it. Just in case you didn't hear what he said, here was the better quality video.
Speaking, what night are you speaking? Are you speaking tonight? Or? Hey, you're not. If you took that stage, you would get booed off of it. You would get booed off the stage.
It's an open question of how the crowd.
Kevin McCarthy, of course, will not be speaking at the convention. Of course, he is not the only member of the Republican Party not there. People were making a very big deal because Mitt Romney isn't there, and George W. Bush isn't there, and Liz Cheney isn't there, and Mitt Romney? Whatever. Who cares? Weren't going to be there. Guys, no one invited them. No one invited them because the party of the 90s, the party of the interventionists, the party of the forever wars is over. It's over and it's never coming back. And quite frankly, I want to make this very clear. Liz Cheney, George W. Bush, you're not welcome in this party. You're not well. Who else was it? Paul Ryan wasn't going to be there. That's a shame. Mike Pence wasn't going to be there. Moreover, it took everybody nearly 2 days to notice that those five men weren't going to be at the Republican convention. I said five on purpose. I know what I said. That era is over, and it's never coming back. And the appointment of J.D. Vance the nomination of J.D. Vance to the vice presidency ought to show you that the populists are winning in this party, and we are not going anywhere. And if anybody's got a problem with that, well, you know what? Too bad. Too bad. We are not going anywhere. We are bigger and bolder and stronger than ever before. And all I can say is hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's keep on moving. Guys, before we keep moving, hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Retweet it. Retruth it. Do what you got to do. I really do appreciate it. And make sure you're following the page, rumble.com/LFATV, for the best damn political news anywhere, period. Before we move on, guys, head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Check out the shop. You can pick up the new Trump Vance Make America Great Again t-shirts. We've got them in pretty much every color. We even made a bathing suit you guys can pick up. We have so many new products over at the Loud Majority. Donald Trump bumper stickers, Trump Vance flags. All the money that goes from that stuff goes right back into the campaign work that we do. You guys know, can't stop, won't stop all day long. We need your help. I would fund the whole campaign if I had my way, if I had the money to do so, but I do not. So pick up some cool stuff over at the Loud Majority and help us get out the vote. We are going to be doing voter registration drives. We even got little kid stuff. Look at this. We even got stuff for the little kids. Pick those up today over at loudmajorityusa.com. That's loudmajorityusa.com. Guys, pick up. I like that Trump rubber duck. Pick that up, loudmajorityusa.com. That's the best way to support this show, this network, and everything we've got going on. We can't do it without your help. I showed you guys yesterday the new one. Where is it? Bum, bum, bum. Where is it? The new Miller Lite t-shirt that I absolutely love. Check out this bad boy right here. Check out this bad boy right here over at loudmajorityusa.com. It comes in like every single color imaginable. Some of these colors I've never even heard of before, but pick them up today, loudmajorityusa.com. Let's keep on moving and grooving here, because we got one more CNN clip that we've got to talk about, because they're starting to notice something. CNN is starting to notice something that I don't know if they're really prepared for. They're starting to notice that the world is beginning to wake up to their baloney. The world is beginning to wake up to their baloney. Here's CNN's John King, one of the biggest losers on television. One of the biggest losers on television. Admitting that it turns out the polls not looking too good for Joe Biden.
But this is our current CNN projection of where we are now. And look at this. If Donald Trump won, what we have here, dark red states, solid Republican, light red states, leaning Republican. If he won just those right there, he would already have the path to 270. He would have 272 electoral votes. Look what is different. We have Wisconsin as a toss-up. We have Pennsylvania.
I want to be clear. Donald Trump, according to CNN's analysis, has the win without Pennsylvania, without Wisconsin, without Virginia, without Arizona, without Nevada.
Pennsylvania as a toss-up, two critical states for Joe Biden. Michigan right now, another critical state for Biden, leaning Republican. Georgia, a state Biden flipped, leaning Republican. Arizona, a toss-up state. That was a state Biden flipped. Nevada, a state he won, leaning Republican. This is the dire strait for Joe Biden right now on the first night of the Republican convention. Tomorrow is 16 weeks to Election Day. 16 weeks from tomorrow, we count the votes. It is tough to change a map like this in that amount of time. And here's why Democrats are so worried, why so many Democrats are saying, Mr. President, please reconsider and get out of this race. Because right now, Trump is leading here. And Trump is leading here, narrowly, but he's ahead in those states. Trump is leading here. That's 312 electoral votes. Trump is leading in this Nebraska congressional district. Let me change it that way. Nebraska does it by congressional district. That's 313 electoral votes. And Democrats are warning that Trump may not be well ahead. It may still be margin of error. It might be a tie. But right now, Trump is competitive here. That's blue Virginia. That's blue New Hampshire. So the warnings to the White House are, Donald Trump could conceivably, if the current dynamics in the race hold, get 330 or more electoral votes. That's what they believe.
Did they just actually admit that live on television? 330 electoral votes? That is out of control. And where are they getting these numbers from? Well, recent polling out from YouGov shows that things are not looking good for Joe Biden. YouGov, by 538, is rated an A-plus poll with 900 registered voters. He is up 7 in Arizona, 4 in Georgia, 2 in Michigan, 4 in North Carolina. I think that's way higher in North Carolina, to be honest with you. 4 in Nevada, 3 in Pennsylvania. Shout out Scott Pressler. 5 in Wisconsin. Now, why does this matter? Because it turns out it's all about Joe Biden. Because if we look at the exact same poll, and we look at the Senate races, it turns out Joe Biden is dragging down the ticket. Here is that exact same poll with those exact same states. The Democrat is up 8 in Arizona. The Democrat is up 9 in Michigan. The Democrat is up 7 in Nevada, up 7 in Wisconsin. And Bob Casey, who, to be totally fair, is probably the last remaining, what would you call, blue dog Democrat. I think he's the last remaining openly pro-life Democrat in the country, is plus 12. Joe Biden is dragging this ticket down, but his ego will not let him get out of the race. And Democrats have no good way of getting him out of the race. So what is he looking to do? Joe Biden is currently looking to change the rules. This from the Post-Millennial. Joe Biden signals his intent to impose term limits on Supreme Court justices and other reforms. The wilder and more the more radical Joe Biden makes his plans in the coming weeks, as John King said, we are now 15 weeks and 6 days away from the election. So my question is, what are you doing? How much work are you willing to put in order to make sure that those poll numbers go? But the more radical Joe Biden gets, the more will signal that he sees a loss coming. Joe Biden is reportedly finalizing plans to back changes to the Supreme Court, which will reportedly include proposals for an establishment of term limits in addition to an enforceable ethics code. Two people briefed on the matter told the Washington Post. Biden is reportedly weighing plans to call for a constitutional amendment to strike down the immunity in place for presidents and other office holders, a source said. A constitutional amendment? Yeah. Okay. Sure, Joe Biden. Give that a whirl. Let me know how that goes. Biden reportedly spoke about the plans in a Zoom call with the Congressional Progressive Caucus on Saturday. He said, I'm going to need your help on the Supreme Court because I'm about to come out. I don't want to preemptively announce it, but I'm going to come out with a major initiative on limiting the court. I've been working with constitutional scholars for the last 3 months, and I need some help, Biden said in a transcript of the call obtained by the outlet. Congress is the body that can make changes to the composition of the court, not the president. The U.S. Constitution, Article 3, states that justices shall not hold offices during good behavior. Shall hold offices during good behavior, meaning that the justices hold office as long as they choose and can only be removed by impeachment. Following the Supreme Court decision, Biden said in an address, nobody's above law, not even the president of the United States. I love doing the Joe Biden. He added that the decision undermines the rule of law in the U.S. Biden claimed that the court's decision was part of a course of attack in recent years on a wide range of long-established legal principles. Yeah, right. So Joe Biden doesn't like a ruling from the Supreme Court. Therefore, he decides to change it. Because nothing says following the rule of law like changing the rule of law just before you're about to lose. Guys, hit that thumbs up button. Share this video out all over the place. 1,250 watching live. Big number. I'm liking it. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. Make sure you retweet the video. Take the URL. Send it to a friend. That's how we grow this network. Giddy up. Let's go. 85,500 followers. Let's get that up to 100 by election day. Bingo, bango, let's go. Let's go. On some good news, on the good news front, Peter Navarro has just been released from prison after serving his 4-month sentence. Peter Navarro is expected to travel to Milwaukee to address the Republican National Convention tonight following his release. Former Trump advisor Peter Navarro has been released from a Miami federal prison on Wednesday morning following a 4-month sentence for his refusal to comply with the subpoena for the J6 committee. He was convicted of contempt of Congress. He's expected to address the RNC tonight. Peter Navarro's prison consultant, Sam Mangel, told CNN that Navarro worked as a law library clerk during his time in prison, saying everybody has to work. It gave him a chance to write. When I went to visit him, guys were coming up to him, high-fiving him. It seems as though he had a good experience in jail, or at least as good of an experience in jail as one can have, for whatever that's worth. Navarro is, of course, one of two Trump advisors imprisoned for refusing to comply with a subpoena. Steve Bannon reported on July 1st to begin serving his four-month sentence. He will be let out of jail 4 days before Election Day. 4 days before Election Day. Can't wait for that. Guys, it's 2 o'clock. I want to thank everybody so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys head on over to loudmajorityusa.com. Check out all the new stuff. That's the best way to support this network and everything we've got going on over here. Once again, Saturday, Tunnel to Towers fundraiser at 4 North Street in Manorville, New York. Keep it locked in for that one. Next big event I've got planned is a... Where the hell is it? Got it right here. A street fair on Myrtle Avenue in Queens, baby. Big voter registration drive with the New York City Young Republicans. Giddy up, let's go. Can't wait. Can't stop, won't stop, will never stop. Guys, matter of fact's coming up next right here on this network. Until tomorrow, everybody, stay loud.